Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm Steve Bertrand. This is the Thursday Afternoon Focus. Each week we'll bring you a deep look into the stories and issues from different points of view. This week we're looking at police officers in America. 2020 has been a trying one for the officers, day in and day out. Men and women not only had to put on the uniform to carry out the duty of protecting and serving the public, they were also thrust into a global pandemic where every person they came in contact with could be infected with COVID-19. Civil unrest and protest in many cities in the U.S. following the video of George Floyd's death at the hands of Minnesota police also prompted a movement to defund the police, which really is a call to reorganize different resources in different ways. One of those ways is to send out mental health workers with police when it comes to mental health calls. In Winnebago County and Rockford, law enforcement there are teaming with Rosecrans Crisis Intervention Specialists to do just that. I talked with Rosecrans President Dave Gomel about the program.
This has been part of a dream of ours for a number of years. You know, there is an disproportionate number of individuals who are in mental health crisis, behavioral health crisis, including substance use and mental health. And oftentimes, because of the behavior that they're exhibiting due to this crisis, and it can be uncertain for the people nearby, they call 911.
Right.
So the police show up, and some of whom are trained in a model called CIT, kind of a crisis debriefing. But the reality is police, law enforcement are there to serve and protect, right? And they're not mental health professionals. So we've been working for some time in a number of the regions that Rosecrans represents to identify a way to get our folks safely there with the police, with the intention of avoiding incarceration or emergency room visits.
I also wanted to know exactly how the program would work in a real-world setting.
It's a little bit unique out here, and it's something we're proud of. We actually are working with both the county municipality and the city police, and then Rosecrans is the private entity, the mental health professional piece. So wherever their call is within this region, that municipality is called, and this team that is trained by Rosecrans and NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness, and other local mental health professionals, we're training this entire first response team. And so when they get called and the 911 has a specific code for mental health crisis, the team will show up. And what I'm saying is that we'll be there right behind law enforcement.
Okay.
So we want law enforcement to make sure that the scene is secured. If the individual is not able to be de-escalated, the police then will, you know, need to do what their job is. Otherwise, they'll be able to turn to the professional and say, okay, let's see if we can help this person through this crisis.
Gomel says there's also post-care after a call.
Actually, the entire group, the law enforcement and Rosecrans, will work together for follow-up services post-call. So the next day, our objective is to get people de-escalated and get them immediately into a safe, secure setting. We have a triage center here in Rockford that Rosecrans operates. Get people into outpatient care, get them with providers where they can get the mental health treatment that they need. So this crisis group will follow up the next day with the individual who was at point of interest,
right,
and make sure that they're following up. Non-uniformed police and Rosecrans mental health professionals coming together, knocking on their door and just asking how things are going. And did they follow up with their care to prevent a second call? That's the objective there.
And how will you measure success for this pilot program?
So we're going to look at second calls. Obviously, we want to reduce second calls. We're going to look at level of engagement because we're the mental health provider. We can look at outpatient compliance, medication compliance, which could be important, and then no new arrests within these individuals that are involved.
Coming up next on the Thursday Afternoon Focus, I'll talk to a retired officer from the police department to talk about how policing has changed since the time he was in uniform. I'm Steve Bertrand. This is Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. We're continuing this week's edition of the Thursday Afternoon Focus today, looking at police in America. Peter Bella, a retired Chicago officer, was on the force for 29 years.
I started in 1978. I started out in the 10th District, which is basically Lawndale, Little Village. Then I went to the area around the University of Illinois, Taylor Street and all of that. And then I spent 14 years in forensics.
Tell me about what it is that brought you joy being a police officer.
I think the fact that you could actually help people every day, you learned a lot about human nature and what makes people tick. You learned real quick how to use applied psychology to handle various types of situations. I think it was just a combination of things.
Now that Peter's on the outside looking in, I asked him how the job has changed since the time he left.
I think the training's changed quite a bit. You know, we didn't do a lot of role-playing. They do a lot of role-playing in a police academy. They try to put you in situations and to see how you can handle them. Over the years, you know, a lot of changes came about the same way they do now. There was some type of a scandal, whether it was use of force or something else, and then they changed the policies. And then we all had to be retrained on the policies. And I think they do a lot more of in-service training now, whether it's via computer or, they won't do it now with the COVID thing, but we're at the academy. They do a lot more in-service training than we did. But they've always, you know, the changes always came about because something happened.
Was there, you know, sometimes those of us who don't have a lot of interaction with the police department think that there is always an adversarial relationship with the officers and those they come in contact with. I would imagine that's not true, right?
You know, it all depends on how you approach situations. And I was taught early on, I was very fortunate, the officer who trained me on the street was an African-American. We were working in an African-American area. And I learned how to approach people, how to deal with them, so it wasn't adversarial. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every now and then you're going to come across somebody who doesn't like to be stopped, who doesn't like to be arrested or whatever. But for the most part, it's sort of a two-way street. It's, you know, how you initially approach people and how they approach you and how, if you know, whether or not you can de-escalate that and keep it from being adversarial on both sides. It's a tough, it's like walking a tightrope a lot of times.
With all that has changed over the years, I really wanted to know if Peter would put the badge on again if he was a young man today.
I don't know. I've had young people come up to me and I always tell them, you know, go work for the feds. But me personally, I don't know if I do it again or not.
What would keep you from doing it again?
I think the atmosphere, it's a lot tougher to do the job now because of, especially with all the current events going on. And it, from what I've been reading, it appears that the police department's in a constant state of flux or change. They can't quite figure out at the top how they're going to handle a lot of things, mm-hmm. especially the violence in some of these neighborhoods. That's been a struggle as long as I can remember. I mean, I worked in Lawndale, and Lawndale was just as bad then as it is now.
And I asked him if it's hard to put the job away since he's retired.
Yeah, at times. I mean, you know, I'll be walking down the street somewhere, and I'll see that police car going by with the lights and sirens and think to myself, you know, going by at like 40, 50 miles an hour, and think to myself, gee, I used to do that. But overall, I really don't miss it that much. I miss the people more than the job itself. You know, there were great people. You have to be a special person to be a policeman or even a fireman. I know quite a few firemen. And the people are what make it work.
Coming up on the Thursday Afternoon Focus, we hear from two former cops who founded a police-based mental health program aimed to erase the stigma of seeking help for trauma. I'm Steve Bertrand on Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. We're continuing this week's edition of the Thursday Afternoon Focus today, looking at police in America. Dan Herbert, a Chicago attorney and a former Chicago police officer, along with former cop Jeff Salvetti, are the founders of Bank the Blue. It's a cop-focused mental health program aimed to connect officers in need of help with psychologists who are experts in dealing with police trauma. They both talked about the biggest misconception the public has about police.
The biggest thing, I think, is that the public thinks that police have been trained so adequately and comprehensively that they kind of leave their emotions at the door when they check in, and they don't realize that these police officers are human beings, and they react to seeing stress and trauma on a daily basis the same way that anyone else would, and it has just taken such a traumatic effect on law enforcement in general, but certainly here in Chicago more than anywhere else.
Jeff, what do you think?
You know, stemming along those same lines, it's a mental toll that it takes on. Not so much even just going to work, it's leaving work at work. You know, you have to go home and you have to be a dad, or you have to be a husband, a wife, a mom. You know, you have many roles outside the police department, and everyone expects you to just be able to, you know, close that locker at the end of the day and leave everything you've seen and, you know, handled that day behind, and a lot of that comes with you. And people don't realize, you know, police are human just like everybody else. You know, we laugh, we cry, we bleed. You know, we do everything everyone else does, and sometimes we are not looked at that way.
I asked Herbert if it was getting easier for cops to reach out and say they need help.
It's getting easier, but what we have found is that reaching out to their respective departments, whether it be an employee assistance program or supervisors, there is still an extreme hesitation to engage and to open up to anyone or any organization that is in any way linked with their employer. And that was really one of the biggest reasons why we started that not-for-profit organization dedicated to supporting police officers, because it's an avenue where it is 100% separate from the department.
Salvetti also says that mental health resources that cops need around the country just aren't there.
From our work in trying to build this team as we put this non-for-profit together to help officers, we found that licensed psychologists, psychiatrists that are law enforcement specific, it's staggering how few there are across the entire country. So I'm talking, you know, under 100 across the entire country. So to think that we're going to get 25 of them, you know, inside Chicago, inside of our districts, is a great idea, but I just don't think it's realistic. It would be ideal. It's the ideal situation, but it is a staggering number of the limit of the amount of resources there are of licensed law enforcement professional psychologists, so that when they sit down, it's not, you know, weeks and weeks of learning what this officer might be going through. They're trained to know right away so they can hit the ground running. And it was unbelievable to find out how limited that is out within the entire country.
Herbert says that's why Bank the Blue was created.
We have them. We have reached out, and we have a partnership with each and every one of them that provides the services for mental health. So what it is it's providing the services that police officers need, that will be given by people that have tremendous experience in this field, and given by people that understand not only the police world, but understand their benefits, their insurance, and we're going to provide it for no out-of-pockets to any police officer. And in the second component of it is also going to be more of a it's going to be like not a training program as much as it's going to be like a listening and engagement program with police officers, so that we can help them better enjoy their job with how they interact with the community, because we're going to take that same engagement to the community so that both sides kind of recognize each other's respective positions and circumstances.
Coming up next week on the Thursday Afternoon Focus, we'll have an in-depth look at the history of Halloween. I'm Steve Bertrand. This is Chicago's Afternoon News on WGN.